Turn your Bibles, will, to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 here, and we came from Ephesians over to this subject of headship. We're taking a look at our relationships and want to take a look at a point about relationships and this life. And then we want to go on and take a look at another relationship. But our theme verse for these this consideration about headship in the Scripture is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ, the Apostle Paul writing. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. Because what is it about the ordinances? Well, they're Christ-based and they're Christ-centered. They all speak, both of them speak about Christ. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the day and your blessings upon us in it. Help us, Father, as we continue to look into your word, Father, and that we just might see those things that you have for us. Lord, speak to us through it. Take me out of the way. And Lord, just help us that we might be lifted up, encouraged in you. And Lord, where we need corrected, where I need rebuked or reproved, Lord, do you do that? Lord, where we need strengthened and help and lifted up, Lord, help us in it. Help us, Father, that we might be knowledgeable and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of your word. Father, that we'd not take up things of, well, we've done this always this way in the past, and so that's the way we need to do it in the future. Or, Lord, we might take up the teachings of our fathers that hadn't been according to your word. Lord, just help us, correct us, show us the truth, and help us to take that and draw it nigh to us that we might be obedient unto you and walk with you in a way that you'd be pleased. Lord, save sinners and help us to be a good witness to them. And Lord, work in hearts and call as you only can. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Headship. This thing of headship, we took a look in our last consideration of this last couple times about our work, and that in work, we as the Lord's children, we're subject to Christ, okay? We're to be submissive to Christ. And the Lord in the Scripture gives us much instruction about how we are to be submissive to our employer or our bosses. We also had some instruction there about how masters are to be. If we are, the Scripture talks to us in that about being a servant or being a master, speaking more about a slave type of scenario. We don't know anything about that. That's foreign to us. But we do, from that, get an understanding about how it is for us to be with our employers. And so we've looked at that here recently. And so if you work a job, work it. Work it well. Work it as unto Christ. Don't take that work and put it before the Lord, because then it becomes idolatry. If you don't work, work. You should be working. We're all to be working at something. Okay, and so work. And so it's been ordained by the Lord, and we need to take that in its place. And as we take a look at some of these other relationships, we'll see some things more particular about the work that each of us have. But we need to all be about working. The Lord, you think about how the Lord speaks. And in the parables and his instruction upon the earth during the time of his ministry, many things that he spoke to the people about in parables and spiritual things were references to work, right? Whether it be farming, whether it be reaping, right? Whether it be threshing, right? A lot of things relative to work, and because that's the way that it's to be. We want to take a look here. And in this thing of relationships and in the thing of headship and the misunderstanding about this whole issue of headship that the world and the religious world has, we need to have an understanding of something here about running the race that is set before us. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Take a look over here. Let's just kind of interject this here. And understand, if we have been commanded a thing, if we've been given commandments, okay, and that's we considered about that in our study of the book of Galatians, and we're at the fruit of the Spirit, and in our study in Ephesians, how we've tried to see how it is that the Lord speaks to those churches, the churches in Galatia, the church at Ephesus. He talked to them collectively for a while in those epistles, and then it breaks off to talk to individuals about the commandments, the responsibility that we have as individuals to walk with the Lord, serve the Lord, and how we are to obey. Yes, in salvation, the Lord fulfilled the commandments for us, didn't he? He did. He fulfilled the law. But then as children, we are to be obedient children. And the only way we can obey is to obey what the Lord says. Amen? Amen. And so we are given commandments in this. And we've seen these commandments that have been given in this work relationship between the employee and the worker and our submission to Christ in that. If we've been told the truth about how we are to operate and pursue in this life, which I say if, we have been, the Word of God tells us. And so when that comes to us and we have that understanding, then we're responsible. You can't shuck the responsibility. Even if we don't know there is a responsibility that's there, and we may have error or we may have disobedience because of ignorance, because if we don't know. But when we know, look out. Look out. Okay? And then from the standpoint of us being children and the Lord being our Father, we know that every child that He loves, every son that He loves, He chasteneth, right? Right. Because we have a Heavenly Father. We're not bastards. We're not without a Father. We have a Heavenly Father. And He rebukes and reproves and corrects us according to what we need and for our benefit. Amen? I mean, that's the relationship that we have. So if we have instruction relative to this issue and this subject of headship, if we have instruction about how it's to be and we don't follow that instruction, then what's at jeopardy? Okay, well, let's take a look and consider that. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go ahead and back up to verse number 1. And I know that this is written to a preacher, a young preacher by the apostle, but there is principle and concept in here that applies to all of us, okay? And look here in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Is that bad for the non-preacher to have or to be in? No. No, it'd do us well to be in that grace, right? Be strong in that grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Okay, so that's his role as a pastor, Timothy's role as a pastor. What he's received, pass it on. That's what I'm to do. What I have received of the Lord, I'm to pass it on to you. Okay, and in that office of a pastor, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there it's to continue on, right? Especially relative to preachers and pastors. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because we have been called to be the Lord's soldier, the Lord's footmen, the Lord's servants. Listen, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And some time ago, I brought out a message about being in the armor, equipping ourselves with the armor of the Lord, that we are to do so, and we're going to get to that in Ephesians. But the thing is if we're so entangled with the vines and the sin and the things that beset us so easily, if we're so entangled with that as a good soldier, when the Lord calls us to move, we can't. And so if you're going to be a good soldier for the Lord, as the Lord's called us, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't be tangled up. Don't let them have a dominance over us that restricts us. Right. So, well, I want my kids to do this, this, and this. Well, if this, this, and this interferes with services, not good. Well, I want to be on this club or that club. Well, if it interferes with your service of the Lord and the Lord's church, what the Lord's called us to do and be about, then it's not a good thing to be involved with, is it? Amen. If we take on a job that causes us and just eats up every whit of our time to where we have no time for the things of the Lord, we take up a hobby that just eats up all of our time, we got no time for the service of the Lord. Right. We're entangled, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're entangled, okay? Listen here, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries... Let's read that again. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. What's that talking about? There's a way to run. There's a way to master what we've been called to do. And all of us, we've been called to be faithful children. All of us that are here that are saved, that have been added to Olmsted Baptist Church, we're to serve the Lord and His church, right? We're to serve the Lord and His church well. And if we are going to obtain the mastery of that, we got to do it lawfully. Okay. One that runs a race. We'll have a, y'all can envision in your mind the track and field, right? If my memory serves me right, one time around the track is 400 and used to be in the old days, used to be a 440 yards. And now it's so many meters now, right? 400 meters or whatever. If you're set to run the 440 dash and you're at the start line and the official holds up to pull the trigger for the gun and then you take off before the gun's fired, and you come in first, have you won? Well, wait a minute. You were the first to cross the finish line. Didn't strive according to the rules, did you? Right. That's right. It cheated. And what ended up happening? In all, you cheated yourself. Because if the best that you and I can do is, say, fourth place, better to get fourth place honest than first place dishonest. Because first place dishonest is not first place, is it? The official, we're at the line, and the official pulls the trigger, and we're off. And then we get on down to the corner, and we make the corner around the end of the field, and we're coming around to the other corner at that where that radius is, and coming on around, and then we go halfway down the sideline, and then I run across to the finish line. I won, didn't I? Didn't I win? I crossed the finish line first. I didn't win, did I? Because I didn't strive lawfully. What are the rules? To run on the track at the time to run, appointed by the official, and to stay on the track all the way around, to not foul any of the other runners. Well, there's message there, isn't there? Right? A point there. And then come all the way around and finish the finish line without throwing junk at the other runners, without cutting across the field, right? Without using a jet pack, right? I know that's extreme, but right? There's a race to be run that's set before us, and if we don't do it lawfully, will we receive the reward of winning the race? No. And so that's what the apostle tells the young preacher here. He says, and don't be entangled with the world, and strive lawfully. And if a man will also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. You know, do you want to do good in the service of the Lord to please yourself? Or do you want to do good in the service of the Lord to please the one that's called you? That's what we need to do, isn't it? It's for the Lord. We serve for the Lord. It'll be nice if you're happy with me. But what I need to do is I need to serve the Lord first. You need to serve the Lord first in every way. And so if we don't strive lawfully, no crown, right? No reward for the service. Okay? Let's take a look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The apostle here speaking in the latter part of this chapter about looking to engage folks where they are. He's not talking about compromising his faith in Christ and obedience to Christ, but brothers and sisters, we got to meet people where they are. And I pray the Lord helps me in doing that, that I would meet people where they are. Now, I'm not talking about going down to the bar and going in there and getting a Coke and sitting down beside them and witnessing to them. I'm not talking about that. But in their situation, in that person's situation, those round about us, I don't need to be like the Pharisees and said, well, they're unclean, I can't approach them. They may be in the vilest sin that there ever was. I don't need to encourage them in it. I don't need to be a partaker with them in it. But I do need to engage them, and I do need to empathize with them, because they need the Lord just as much as I did.
Amen.
Okay? And so he's talking about that. He's talking about engaging folks where they are. And then he says, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Everybody's running. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Is that a suggestion? No, that's flat out. Run to win. Serve to win. Because we've been given the Spirit of God living within us, and we've been given prayer to petition our Heavenly Father for that which we need. And we are to strive, to pursue, because it has been given to us, and through the Lord's help, we can. We've been saved from death. Amen?
Amen.
Have we not been made alive? And the life we have is the life that we have in Christ. So run. Run. And run to win. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, self-controlled. Doesn't jump the shot for the starting line. Doesn't cut across the field. What are you talking about, Brother Jim? Well, Ananias and Sapphira. Did they not want it to look like they gave all? But did they give all? Who knew? Nobody knew but the Lord till he laid it on Peter. Then Peter knew. You see what I'm saying? It looked good. I noticed a thing yesterday, and this is no condemnation to anybody that did the painting, but I noticed yesterday, this door looks real nice and pretty, doesn't it, and all white. You know what it looks like up on top? Brother Nicky does. It's green. It's shades of green. It's the old paint. The Japanese would take exception to that, Brother Nicky. They talk about in their manufacturing about painting the bottom side of the chair that nobody looks at as a quality thing way back when. But see, it looks good. But up there where nobody can see, it ain't too hot, is it? It sure don't match. Well, see, what this is about running. Our running might look good, but is it lawfully? Is it complete? Is it right? Giving. We jump on that thing of giving. It's an easy thing. But you won't have the blessing and reward of tithing unless you do. And you tithe on the gross, not on the net. Otherwise it ain't. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And so he says here, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, self-controlled, obedient. You know, believe, I believe in the head covering for the woman. And I think that's a way a woman can speak. Even though they're to be under silence, it's a way that a lady in the midst of the services can speak about the place that the Lord has made for her. I tell you what, ladies, you can't wear that head covering and make the turmoil and trouble in your soul about your internal lack of regard for the place that the Lord's made for you, and wear that head covering and make it right. Because the Lord knows. You understand what I'm saying? Men, we can't behave like we're the head of the household when we're here at the church and then go home and not be. It doesn't fly. Because the Lord knows. You see what I'm saying? And that's the thing about striving for mastery, but not according to the, not being temperate and not going according to the rules, if you will. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That's the reason folks are racing today somewhere. They're going for the prize. But is that prize going to last forever? No, they'll spend it out. If you leave it piled up very long, it'll rot, right? They for a corruptible crown, but what's it say here? We strive for an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that shadow boxes or beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Says, I don't understand all about what that means. But the apostle is striving to be a witness to others, to serve the Lord well, to be self-controlled in it all, to serve the Lord according to what the Lord's commanded. And he wants to finish. Does anybody engage in a race and say, I'm going to engage in this race, but I don't look to finish? Don't you want to finish?
Amen.
Don't you want to finish well? Amen. I want to finish well. May the Lord help that we would. I want to hear of the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I want that for you. I want that for each and every one of you that's a member of this church. I want it for you that are not saved. I pray the Lord to save you and add you to the church. I want you to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, how can it be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Because we obeyed. We obeyed the instruction. It's really simple, isn't it? Indeed it is. And then we refer to it, I've referred to it here in the course of these messages in Philippians chapter 2. I want you to turn over here and we'll read this again. We read earlier in the chapter, we're going to pick it up here in verse number 5. Relative to headship, relative to striving lawfully, relative to running the race with self-control, there's no greater example than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But in the garden, under that great load and oppression from Satan and oppression from everything, the fear that the scripture says that he had, if he would have said, I'm out of here, you and I would be on our way to hell. Did he strive lawfully? Indeed he did. He was obedient to the Father to the T, wasn't he? Was he temperate in all things? No greater self-control ever was. Amen. And as a song, I think song we've sang today, he took his glory and he set it aside. He set it aside for me. It's what the Father instructed him to do, and he did it. He didn't get up there on the cross and say, I'm out of here. This is enough of this. But he endured it all the way to the end, didn't he?
Amen.
And gave his body, gave his blood, gave his soul, gave his life. An offering for sin. Because there was no plan B, was there? There was no second option for salvation, was there? He's the only one. And so he's our example indeed, isn't he? He said, wherefore he did these things, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, verse 9. Why? He ran the race with patience. He ran the race as a man. He ran the race that was set before him. Did he not? Yeah. To this end I was born. And should I pray, Father, deliver me from this hour? Right? See, he ran the race as a man that was set before him. And because of that, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Striving lawfully, obeying the Lord. May the Lord help us in these aspects and this consideration of the subject of headship and the places that we have in it while we live on this earth. May the Lord help us to understand that obedience to Him in those things will yield and bring the reward. You can't take it and short circuit it. You hear what I'm saying? We might go ahead and do something to us that makes sense, and we might gain something from it that'll help us out in this life or that we'll enjoy. But at the doing of that, of not obeying the Lord in a thing, we may not, it may cause us to lose the blessing of the Lord in it. Amen? Amen. You hear that? If the Lord's given us instruction about a thing and we don't obey Him in it, we may gain a temporal thing that we may enjoy in this life, but it won't last. But in that, what we'll do is we'll sacrifice the reward from the Lord. Amen. My wife has been commanded of the Lord to be subject to me as her husband. And she can put on a show of being subject to me and not be, and not run the race right, huh? Amen. Might look good at the appropriate time, but the Lord knows otherwise. Right. See? Amen. This whole thing is not about deception. Right. It's about truth, isn't it? Isn't that what the Lord's all about? But the thing is, in being in that, I'll pick on Clarissa, in being subject to me as her husband, even as fallible as I am, her being submissive and subject to me as the Lord commands, her reward could be greater than mine. Can be in the head of my home. Huh? And the Lord's told her, if she'll give a cup of water or a meal to the people of God, that there'll be a blessing of theirs bestowed upon her. Remember the economy of the Lord and how that works?
Amen.
So I want to mention those things to help us out. Next time, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at the government, our relationship to the government. It's an interesting thing, and I didn't understand this till a few years ago. A brother that I know was called to give a talk or a devotion, if you will, at a meeting of some governmental officials. And I want you real quick, I know you're ready to go, but I want you real quick, I want us to read this and we'll give you this chew on, okay? Then we're going to pick this up next time. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Had a man the other day talk to me about how the man was getting him. He said the man was giving him trouble about his truck. I didn't understand at first what he was talking about, but what he was talking about is probably the Tennessee Highway Patrol, the man. Did you not hear what it just said there in verse number 4? Am I a minister in the church? Am I a minister of God? Yeah. I've been called of God to be a preacher, been ordained to God by the church, and ordained by the church to be a pastor here, been called of the church to be a pastor here. I'm a minister of the Lord. So are the law officials. They're ministers too. Whoa, Brother Jim, what if they're bad? Take that up with the Lord. Don't take it out on them. Now we have, in our country, we have such great blessing. We have avenues to deal with things that are corrupt. And if we would run into a situation where there would be a situation of corruption, we should pursue that and deal with that right. But in other lands, it wasn't so. At the time that this was written, there was law of Rome. But I tell you what, you pick it up against a Roman soldier or a Roman-placed governor, you had a hard row to hoe to try to beat that. And that's when this was written, during the time of a very wicked government. But our relationship with government, we'll pick that up next time. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ, and we point you to Him. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel. His death, His burial, His resurrection is the only hope you have for the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, and the Lord giving you everlasting life. You need Jesus. You need Him. We point you to Him.